In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Immaculate Queen of the Family, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now I'm here with Mrs. Abba Shields, who works for the Marriage and Family Life Office for the Diocese of Portsmouth. You're welcome, Mrs. Abba Shields.
Thank you very much.
As we speak, certain questions come to my
mind,
you know.
Sure.
Do you think Jesus, his example, I mean, with Ephesians 5, verse 25, where St. Paul says, husbands, loves your wife just as Christ loved the church. This donation of Christ, this giving of himself. Do you think enough is being done to show husbands, and we'll speak about the wives later on, Christ as being the model, especially in this time of egoism that we're living in, selfishness, and this the spiritual aspect. I mean, we're speaking about holiness. Do you think enough is being done to enable men to aspire to follow this model, this example that Christ gave?
I think enough has been done, but as we all know, in every generation, God calls us to proclaim the gospel in new ways that reach the people of the time. So in every generation, God calls new prophets, you know, like Jeremiah, to preach and to the dry bones. And so in our generation, I think one of the major top guns, who is one of my most favorite saints of all, is St. John Paul II. Now, he's left a treasure, not just for Catholics, but for the world. He's left a treasure of the theology of the body. And in the theology of the body, John Paul looks at so many aspects for, you know, of how the relationship between man and woman can only survive when it's based on the love that Christ gave to his church, his bride. And so in this love, this self-sacrificial love, we are encouraged, or men are encouraged, to follow Christ as the model. Now, this is not easy. I'm not a man, so I wish my husband was here to speak for himself, or some other guy who's married was here to speak for himself. But I see my husband going day in, day out, the grindstone, going to work, long hours, traveling and everything. He polishes our shoes on a Saturday, sits on the floor. He's got three daughters, polishes everybody's shoes because he feels our shoes have to be shining. It's this little thing, okay, among the many things he does. But we are living in a fatherless nation. You know, so many men are being pushed out, literally pushed out of their role as fathers. And it is sad to see, but it is where we are. So has enough been done? I think we have the treasures of the sacrament. We have the treasures of the teaching of the church. We have the huge gift of St. John Paul II's teaching of theology of the body. We have the whole essence of the marriage covenant, which says that man has to give himself totally, totally. And the woman has to give herself totally. And theology of the body talks about the complementarity of the sexes and how it is only self-sacrificial love that wins. It is only that sort of love. So we may be passionate, we may be attractive romantically and everything, but at the end of the day, the only love that will win is the love that we see on the cross. Christ giving himself for his bride, the church. And men are called to do that. Has enough been done? I think plenty has been done. Has it been proclaimed enough? Maybe not. And so we're all called, you and me, to proclaim and almost, I would say, switch the lights, the gospel lights on the sacrament of marriage. And a great bishop of Arizona wrote a beautiful, beautiful piece called Drawing into the Deep, or Moving into the Deep, or Into the Deep, and it was basically to the fathers of his diocese, and it's become quite popular because he speaks to men, he speaks to fathers, and he's saying, get up, Go out there, be courageous. Look at St. Joseph. He wasn't a wimp. He wasn't making excuses. Get out there and do whatever you can. Fight for your wives, fight for your families. And Into the Deep is something that maybe should be more widely proclaimed. You know, but I think there's so many wonderful things that the church is trying to do. But maybe we need more prophets.
Yes, we'll pray
for
to
more
Our
prophets.
Lady, Queen of Prophets,
yes,
to send us some prophets. Now, we've spoke about the fatherless society, the unfortunate fatherless society we live in, and the lack of a male presence, let's say, a father figure. As well as this, we live in a time of the rapid increases of feminism in the world. Let's say this new woman, this independent woman, this free-thinking woman, this woman who wants to challenge the authority of man, this woman who wants to, I mean, let's be clear, man and woman have equal dignity.
Absolutely.
However, man is the head.
Absolutely.
But there is this attempt by spread by feminism for women to want to take the man's role.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
And many times there's conflict.
Absolutely.
I can imagine, even in families.
Of course.
And we've spoken about St. Paul speaking about how husbands must imitate Christ, but the women are to be submissive, are to be subject to their husbands and obedient. Now, do you think Mary can help this crisis, let's say, of the woman and help her discover her role, particularly in that submissive love, let's call it that? A love which allows one to submit. Do you think the Blessed Virgin Mary can be that model?
I think there is no other better person in our time to be that model for us women, because of this number of things you mentioned, feminism, and perhaps the woman in no time or no generation than ours has many more opportunities to be in other places other than the home, other than the homemaker, other than the one who nurtures the souls of the child, the one who carries the child in the womb. I think it's such a privilege and an honor to be called to walk in the footsteps of Our Lady, because even Muslims honor and revere Our Lady. So in Egypt, the Muslims, they pray to Our Lady. They ask her to intercede for them because they recognize how powerful she is. And yet, she was so humble. And I think that humility of Our Lady comes from trust. And I think because women have suffered over generations at the hands of men, and I'm sorry to say, historically, we have. All of those things have contributed to where we are, so we cannot ignore those things. But having said that, why do we need to heed to the voice of St. Paul in Ephesians to be submissive? What does to be submissive mean? I think it means to yield to. And you yield to the love of your husband because you trust him, you respect him. And Our Lady, when we look at Our Lady's life, she yielded to the will of God. She yielded to the divine will, although it must have been horrific. But you look at Our Lady's life, she suffered from start to finish. That woman really suffered, but she trusted. And she was submissive to the divine will. And I think when we have men who look to Jesus as their role model, who draw strength from Jesus, then we women become submissive. It goes without saying, because when you see your husband in prayer, when you see your husband crying to God, when you see your husband drawing and saying, Jesus, help me, okay, then you also learn to become more trusting. You learn to to surrender, because you know that this man is gazing at Christ. There is his role model. There is his strength. And you can't question. You can't fight that. You can't try and, you know, you can't, you cannot. You just now, cannot.
it must be said, just for our radio listeners, yes. if I didn't make this clear, that we spoke about the husband looking at Christ and taking Christ as his model. Absolutely. And we're speaking now about the wife taking Mary as a model.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean to say that the husband can't take Our Lady as his model, and that the wife can't take Christ as her model, because the Jesus and Mary are there for both, for the man and the woman. And also, as we're speaking about this call to holiness, that we're all called, everyone is called to be saints, the cross and Christ's obedience embraces all, in the sense that all have to follow that model.
Absolutely.
And that is the key to the holiness, that obedience.
I believe that we could be more encouraged as married couples to look at the life of Our Lady. And I go back to what I first said about Jesus' first miracle being at the wedding feast in Cana, where the couple, who we never got to see in the scriptures, we never got to know their names, but we got to know that they ran out of wine, and Our Lady noticed this, and she said to the servants, she said first to her son, they've run out of wine, okay? And her son, Christ Jesus, says, my time has not come yet, woman. My hour has not come. And yet Our Lady doesn't take that little no for an answer. She looks at the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. And therefore we know they brought the water, which was meant for the ablution. So it's not even water that was drinking water. It's water that was meant to be washing of feet. So it's not even clean water. And from that, Jesus changed it into the best wine that the couple and the whole feast enjoyed. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that when we run out of wine, when we come to that point, and we will run out, where do we go? We can look to each other. A great theologian, a Catholic theologian, said in one of his books, he said, it is impossible that the man and the wife look to each other for strength, for they are like two plants planted in the soil of God's love. And so when they look to each other for strength, they are putting a divine responsibility on human shoulders, and the human shoulders will break. But when this couple draw from the soil of God's love, they can give to each other. And Our Lady is a good model. She's the best model for us, because when we contemplate the sorrowful mysteries of Christ, Our Lady was there. She was there at the foot of the cross. She was there receiving the body of her only son. And nobody has ever experienced, no human being is likely to experience, the excruciating pain that this woman went through. And yet, she trusted. She believed. And the scriptures tell us she pondered many things in her heart. So for us as married couples, it would be wise for us to look at Our Lady when we are hurting, to look at the sorrowful mysteries and contemplate those mysteries, and look at Christ's suffering, his agony, his time in Gethsemane, to say, Lord, this is my Gethsemane, and I want to sit with you in Gethsemane while you are anxious, while you're afraid, because Jesus felt all these things, but he offered them to the Father, and he said, not my will, but yours be done. And so we will be doing well in a crisis to look to Christ and say, I am in my Gethsemane. This is my road to Calvary. And I am walking right behind you, Lord. And I offer my pain to you. And please help me to bear it. Yes. Give me the grace to bear it.
I'd like to, because we're going to have to conclude, I'd like to inform our radio listeners that we're actually in Holy Week. So it's very providential that that this interview is on Holy Week. And I liked how you were speaking of looking at Our Lady, how Our Lady pondered these things in her heart. And just to conclude, what do you think of consecrating marriages to the Immaculate Heart of Mary?
I think that's a fabulous idea, because once we consecrate our marriages to, I don't know if the church has that.
You can consecorate your marriage, okay, yes, to Our Lady.
Okay, so once, so how do we do it? Is there a process? Is there a special prayer?
It would be good to do it through a priest. You know, but there's a prayer you recite. You can have a little ceremony.
Okay.
Where you get a blessing.
Sure.
And you say a prayer.
Sure.
You know, it's nice if it's done in a church.
Sure.
There's a lady altar in the church, or even in a home. You know, statue or image of Our Lady. And she will bring many, many blessings and graces upon that marriage. And I encourage all of our radio listeners to do this, those who are married, this consecration of your marriage to our Blessed Mother. Now, a friar has to do his radio show very shortly, but I just want to thank...
Before you thank me, can I just say to our listeners, thank you very much. And we can look at people like Louise and Martin. Yes, St. Teresa's parents, as our role models.
Zelia and
Louis Martin. And we can also look at Elizabeth Lisser. And there's a book called Elizabeth Lisser's Diary. And she was a married woman who suffered greatly, but always stayed close to the teachings of Christ.
Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
As a shields and
a privilege.
There is also Settimio Manelli and Licia Gualandris, who had 21 children. So I'd like to encourage our radio listeners, our married couples, to be courageous and generous.
That is beautiful, because my husband's grandmother had 17 children, and the Maltese have a great gift of large families, but I think maybe the Polish people are now taking over.
Ah, great.
So we've got to catch up.
Okay. Thank you very much, Abby Shields, for speaking to us on Radio Immaculata.
You're very welcome. God bless you too, Father.